Come along, my friend. Come along. You better get aboard. And nothing on, nothing on this. Amen. Great God, you ought to wait, my friend. You better get aboard. And nothing on, nothing on. Amen. Well, you know that the gospel train is coming. Lord, it's coming. You know Jesus said, oh, but he didn't. Well, you better get your house in order. I know the Lord. Well, I tell you that nothing on. Everything. Great God, you ought to with her. Oh, you better get aboard, yeah. And nothing on, nothing on this train. Everything. Great God, you ought to with her, my friend. Oh, you better get aboard, yeah. Nothing on, nothing on. Everything. The whole earth is full of God's glory. And when we stand before scintillating waterfalls, when we stand before exalted mountaintops, when we stand before surging seas, we can know that God is in control. I tell you, the whole earth, not parts of it, is full of God's glory. Amen? When I stand before a sea and I see the tranquility and the serenity of that sea, I know that God is in control. This morning, my dear brothers and sisters, I want to share the third message in a series of messages entitled The Seven Great Rooms of Life. The Seven Great Rooms of Life. And we've talked about the emergency room, and we talked about what you should do when you find yourself in the emergency room. There's a throne of grace that we should come to when we find ourselves in God's emergency room. On last Sunday, we talked about the waiting room and how God himself goes into the waiting room, and how we're so glad today that God waited on me to get myself together. Can you say amen to that? You ain't always been this pretty. So God had to wait on us to help us to get ourselves together. We talked about how the farmer waits for his valuable crops to mature. He waits for the latter and the early rains to do their steady yet sure work. And good things come to those who wait. Now this morning, I want to talk about another room. And this morning, I'm going to talk about the dressing room. Is that all right? We're going to talk about the dressing room. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with us to Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to commence the reading at verse number 20. Through verse 24, I want to thank Brother Lance and Brother Rutledge for the singing this morning. I want to thank Brother Sperling for an excellent reading of the Word of God. Brother Ben for a magnificent prayer. And Brother Foster for the wonderful way in which he calls us to attentiveness. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. You have that, say amen. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The dressing room. Well, what is a dressing room? A dressing room is where people go in a store to take off clothes and put on clothes, in many times, to see how you look and to see whether you're going to buy. You ever done that in your life? Went to a store and tried some on? And see how you look. And then you looked in the mirror, didn't you? Thank you, Brother Earl. I think the rest of them scared to say it. You looked in the mirror to see how you would look. And then based upon that information, you made a decision whether you would purchase the item of the garment. Now, a dressing room is also a place in a theater where performers and actors put on their makeup and their costumes as they prepare for their performances. A dressing room could be in a hotel, it could be in a suite, it could be in a house, and it is a small room where people put clothes on and take clothes off. Now, just like there is a material, physical dressing room, there is a spiritual dressing room where you go to put on certain stuff and take off certain stuff. There are some things in our lives that we need to take off. Hello? Take off jealousy. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Amen? And take off envy. Because somebody said when you are agreeing with envy, you are ripe for trouble. Amen. And so there is God has a spiritual counterpart where we go in and prepare ourselves to deal with life. As I look at this beautiful audience this morning, I know you spent some time in the dressing room. Hello? Because I mean to tell you, I see every hair in place. Is that right? Amen. Shoes matching. Socks matching. Hello. Mascara just right. Hello. I know you've been in the dressing room. Amen. And then after you completed all of your preparation, you couldn't look this good without some work. Hello. After you completed all of your preparation, then you ready to say, here I come, world. Is that right? Well, the dressing room is the place where we go to prepare ourselves to live life. It's the place we go to prepare ourselves for our life's performances. Brother Erman Smith used to like to say, and it was powerful, he talked about the five P's. And that is, prior preparation prevents poor performances. I think that's loaded. Hello? And we have to prepare ourselves to perform on the great stage of life. So this morning, I want to talk about two things with you. I want to talk about number one, God's dressing room. Did you know God has a dressing room, a place where you go to put on certain stuff and take off certain stuff? And some stuff you take off, leave it off. Don't pick it back up. Hello? Is that all right? Some stuff you put on, you put it on and keep it on permanently. And then the final thought is the dressing room and one big word. That was a big word I want to talk about this morning. It's a huge word. And with this word, your life gets better. Without it, it declines. Powerful word. I mean, this is a life-changing word. Amen. God is a God who equips us for life. You know, sometimes a quote, a precisely stated quotation can be so meaningful. That's why quotes can be so meaningful. There's a quote by a man by the name of Mr. Jim Rohn. And Jim Rohn says, he says this. He said that managers help people to see themselves as they are. But leaders help people to see themselves better than they are. I like that. Jesus Christ is not merely a manager. He is a great leader. Jesus helps me to see myself as I am, Brother Wyatt. But not only as I am, he helps me to see myself better than I am. Jesus said there is great potential and possibilities for my life and for your life. Because God is always equipping people. That's right, God is an equipper. That's why the Bible says his word is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. This is why man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God endures forever. God's word is like a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. God helps me to see myself as I am. That's why we sang the song, Just As I Am. But we need to say a little more about it. You can come just as I am or just as you are, but you can't stay just as I am. Hello? You see, God loves babies, but he don't want a baby to stay in the nursery his whole life. Is that all right? I know many of us enjoy being in the first grade, but you can't stay in the first grade all your life. That's why the chair's so little. Praise God. You can't stay in there forever. At some point, you got to get promoted. You got to move on. Is that right? So God is one who helps people to see themselves as they are, but yet better than they are. We need leaders like that. I need leaders that will lead me to tell me that, Moss, you can do better and you can be better. Don't you need that? That someone who could help to bring out the best in me. Don't we need people who can bring out the best in us? You don't need nobody to tell you how bad you are. You got a pretty good idea about that by yourself. Hello? You can't build. And let me just say this while I'm over here. And this here extra, I ain't even put this in the lesson, but this extra. But I ain't going to charge you for it. Is that all right? You can build great relationships criticizing each other. Amen. One lady told a lady, she said, "You know, you got old piece of husband." And she told her, "Yeah, and you got no husband." Hello? And so she was saying that a piece of husband was better than no husband. I don't know whether y'all agree with that, but that's what she said. Is that all right? So let's think about some things. Let's turn your Bibles back to Ephesians 4. And this is God's dressing room. Amen. And everybody needs, like there's an emergency room, there's a waiting room, there's a dressing room. And if you haven't been in God's dressing room, you need to go. The first thing I want to talk about is, if you look at Ephesians 4, and let's look at verse 20 and 21 beginning, and it says, "But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Now, the first thing I want to talk about we need to take off and put on is we need to take off sin and put on Christ. That's a big one. Is that all right? And in order to take off sin and put on Christ, you have to go to God's dressing room. Listen to Galatians 3, 26 and 27. "Now you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ," watch this, "have put on Christ." You put Christ on like you put on a garment in God's spiritual dressing room. Is that all right? And if you hadn't put on Christ, you need to put him on. Is that all right? Now, the New Testament tells us the truth about baptism. There's a lot of controversy about what the Bible teaches about baptism. But the New Testament teaches us that baptism washes away our sins. Get from Acts 22, 16, Brother Wyatt, from the King James. Acts 22, 16. "Baptism washes away our sin." We are baptized into Christ. And you can't put on Christ without being baptized. Hello? You can't pray Christ on. Hello? You got to be baptized. You got to be immersed into Christ. Read it, Brother Wyatt.
"And now why are you waiting?"
"And now why are you waiting?"
"Arise and be baptized."
"Arise and be baptized."
"And wash away your sins."
"And wash away your sins." Is that what it said?
That's what it said.
Why are you waiting, he said. What you waiting on? What you waiting for? Go to God's dressing room and put off sin. Because if you die in your sin, what Christ is, you can't go. Sin is a dangerous thing. Sin is the only thing that can keep you out of heaven is sin. It ain't your skin color. Being broke can't keep you out of heaven. Is that right? Amen. If you don't have a college degree, you still can go to heaven. If you just got fired, you still can go to heaven. Just got divorced, you still can go to heaven. Is that all right? None of those things can. The only thing that can keep you out of heaven is sin. So we need to go into God's dressing room. A place where people take off stuff and put on stuff. As you look at your life, are there some things you need to take off? Amen. Some things you need to put on. Take off sin. If you're quick to get angry, you need to take that off. And when you get angry, you cuss folks out. Hello. You need to take that off. If somebody shot you the bird, don't shoot it back. Take it off. Is that all right? Have a nice day. That's what Brother Wyatt said. Remember one time I had been to McDonald's to get me a breakfast, an egg McMuffin. Matter of fact, I got two that morning. I was feeling kind of festive. And a lady pulled out on me. She was wrong, Brother Rudley, and she got mad at me. And she went to cussing me out. Not cursing, she was cussing the way she was talking. And before I knew it, I wasn't cussing back out of y'all. But I could feel the temperature. But then I said, I'm better than that. I can't respond the way she's responding. Is that right? So the first thing I want to tell you this morning, that in the dressing room, you got to take off sin, and put on Christ. The second thing I want to tell you about this morning is take off the negative and put on the positive. Hello? Look at what it says. You still there? Look at verse number 21. If you have been heard, if so be that you have heard him, have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Look at verse 22. That you put off concerning the what? Former lifestyle. How many of this morning got saved and still living the way you was before you got saved? You got to go back to the dressing room. Is that all right? Brother Wyatt, I need now from the New Living Bible, verse 22. Take off the negative and put on the positive in God's dressing room. Start with verse 22, Brother Wyatt. Listen to this.
Throw off your old evil nature.
Throw off your old evil nature. That's the negative. All of us here today have an old evil nature.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Jackie. All of us have a level of corruption. Even the folks who say they don't, they are not better, they are blinder. I told a guy one time, he said, man, I'm looking for the perfect church. I said, when you find it, don't you join it. That's because when you do it, ain't going to be perfect no more. Is that all right? Take off your old
evil nature.
Evil nature.
And your former way of life.
And your former way of life. God. I went to, what's that store over there in Wildwood, that men's store? Who?
Oh, K&G,
that's what I want, K&G. That's that store we go to. I'm trying to figure out where Ugg get his suits at. Why? But Harris won't tell me where he get his. Praise God. And that was a suit on the rack, and I liked it. So I said, let me try it on. You know what I'm talking about. Ladies, you ever went to a store and and have take six dresses in the take six. What you gonna do with six dresses? Oh, you gonna try them on? Try them on. And when you try them on, you want to see how you look. Oh, y'all with me this morning? So there's something you gotta go in God's dressing room and try it on. I went to look at some nice shirts and ties. And the lady, she was real good. She put one down on the shirt. I said, well, I ain't feeling that one. You ever been there? She said, feel. I said, yeah, I ain't feeling it. I want something to say, ooh wee, when you put it on. Is that right? Brother Ben told her this morning he got some ooh wee. Praise God. And when you try it on, you want it to say, bam. There it is. Is that right? And I'm telling you, when you put on certain things with Christ, when Christ connects with your inner spirit, you'll say, whoop, there it is. Because you know there are certain things in your life, they're not working for you. You got them on, but it ain't working for you. It's creating more problems than solutions. You tried it on, but it ain't working for you. And you're worse off now. You need to go to God's dressing room and try this nice suit he got for you. Try this nice dress he got for you. Is that all right? And you'll be so glad that you did. What does it say, Brother Wyatt?
Which is rotten.
Which is, the Bible says this old sinful nature is rotten.
Through and through.
Through and through. Now that's deep, ain't it? And that's why he says, take off the negative and put on the positive. Amen. Maybe you had an inferiority complex. You got to take that off. And get from around folks who are always trying to put you down and tell you what you can't do. You lead them, folks. Say, adios, fita. That means goodbye quickly. Is that all right? Read on, Brother Wyatt.
Full of lust and deception.
Full of lust.
And deception.
And deception. Take that off. That's the negative. Amen. And do what, Brother Wyatt?
Instead. Must be a spiritual renewal.
There must be a spirit. You need new thoughts and a new attitude. Patti LaBelle said, I got a
new attitude.
That's what I thought she said. And Jesus Christ gives me a new. Go into the dressing room and get yourself a new attitude. Instead of looking at the jar as being half empty, look at it and say it's half full. Walk by faith and not by sight. Is that all right? Take off the negative. God said, I got a nice suit for you. Put it on. See how you look. I got a nice dress for you. Put it on. See how you look. You're going to like how you look. Is that all right? And so you take off the negative. How many got negative stuff in your life? You know you need to get it out of your life. It could just be negative thinking. Something happened, you just lose it. Amen. But you got to keep it together, don't you? Is that all right? And then here's the third thing you got to take off. Take off the old. And put on the new. Take off sin, put on Christ. That's God's dressing room. Take off the negative, put on the positive. Take off the old and put on the new. That's how you grow, isn't it? Amen. He said in that verse, Brother Wyatt, verse 24 says what? Read it.
You must display a new nature.
You must display a new nature. Listen to the beauty of it. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. What? Behold, all things become. We rise up out of the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. The NIV has a very beautiful rendering of that passage. He said, if any man be in Christ, the old has gone, the new has come. Oh, that's beautiful. And Jesus Christ is in the business of making new people. Listen to Romans 12, 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye by the And the only way you ever going to get new. Judge Mathis says sometimes folks are ghetto fabulous. You ever heard that? And they come into his courtroom acting like they brand new. Amen. But God says, I want you to be brand new. Is that right? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your, and you put it on in your mental process. Amen. That I'm not going to give up. I may give out, but I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to turn my back on Jesus. I'm in for the duration. Does that make sense, church? So you take off the old. And you're renewed in the attitude of your mind, because attitude determines. That was a story told. A rich man in Texas showed up at a church. And he was a farmer, sort of a country guy, but he had a lot of money. So he walked in and he told his secretary, I'm looking for the head pig in charge here. And the lady got real insulted. She said, don't you dare call our pastor a pig. He said, ma'am, I didn't mean any harm. I just wanted to donate $100,000. She said, hold on. I go get the big hog. You see her attitude changed, land. Is that all right? And I'm telling you, attitude determines. Story told about this little black boy went to the carnival one day, and there was a man. He was putting helium in the balloons, and he would put them in, and he sent a white one to the sky. He turned it loose, and that helium balloon began to soar away into the heavens. And then little black boy with wide eyed of wonder said, Mister, I want to know, can a black one go that high? He said, let's see, son, let's see. And he filled that black one with helium and he turned it loose, Sister Johnson, and the black one went just as high as the white one. He said, little boy, it's not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside determines how high you go. And I'm saying, when you go in God's dressing room and you put on the thing he wants you to put on, you just gonna sow away. Here's the final point. The dressing room and the big word. Let me give you another quote by Jim Rohn. Jim Rohn said that leaders should help people who are not doing well to do better, and to help people who are doing well to do even more better, if I can use that term. So what are you saying? I'm saying that Jesus Christ helps all of us to do better if we listen to him. And the only reason, listen, the only reason I don't get better if I hear the teaching of Jesus is because I'm not paying attention to what he's saying. There's no way you can hear the teaching of the Son of God and take it seriously and your life does not get better. Now, that was a big word. I want y'all to hear this. And I'm just about to finish. There's a big word in God's dressing room. It's huge. And I mean it's huge. It's life changing. Y'all ready for this? Y'all ready for this? It's a huge word. I'm saying with this word, your life immediately gets better. But if you run from this word, it declines. Now, one man said that a lot of people look truth in the eye and they go the other way. What is this big word? Let me give it to you. This big word is the word I don't believe y'all ready for this. This big word is the word Let me try it one more time. See if I get it out. This big word is the word responsibility. That's a big word. Responsibility. What does it mean? Let me give you a definition. It means that I am accountable to someone or for something. The Bible talks a great deal about accountability. The judgment day that all of us must face strikes at accountability. I'm going to have him to read. I need two passages. 2 Corinthians 5:10 and Romans 14:10. Then I'm going to give you some concepts and we're going to close out. Living Bible. Listen to this. Let's do 1 Corinthians 5:10 first. 2 Corinthians 5:10. I'm telling you what's wrong with the world. There are too many irresponsible people in this world. But if you help people, you help them to understand you're responsible for your life. Brother, while you have it, what does it say?
For we must all
stand before Christ
to be judged.
Who and do what?
Be judged. We will each receive
whatever we deserve.
For the good or evil we have done in our bodies.
You see, I can't blame nobody else for the bad I've done. Huh? I'm responsible for that myself. Romans 14:10 says what? Romans 14:10. I'm going to bring this home to y'all in just a minute. 14:10 says what?
So why do you condemn another Christian? Why do you look down on another Christian? Remember. Each of us will stand personally before the judgment seat of Christ.
Is that it? All right. Next verse says what? 11 says what?
For the scripture says, As surely as I live,
says the Lord,
every knee will bow
to me. And every tongue
will confess
allegiance to God. Now, let me give you something. Write these things down. And I guarantee you, if you do these things, you're going to get better starting today. Number one, I am responsible for my health. Not the doctor. He works with you. But let me tell you something. We got to face the fact. I'm responsible to eat healthy or not. Huh? I can keep going, get them big gallons of Bluebell if I want them. Hello? But I am. I'm going to tell y'all something. I ain't bragging. I just want to tell you. You know, I've dropped 25 pounds, y'all. Yeah, 25 big ones. And you know what? Now, that was a time I wouldn't get on them scales. I gets on that now. I want to see what's happening, Brother Rutledge. I am responsible to exercise my body. I am responsible to stay hydrated. Yes, that doesn't include Sprite and Coca-Cola and Hawaiian Punch. That includes water. I am responsible for my health. Hello? And I'm not going to say this isn't all the case, but a lot of time when we're sick, we've done it to ourselves. I'm not going to say in every case, but a lot of it is self-inflicted. Hello? And we can't just do a broad brush, but amen. Second thing, I am responsible for my finances. Hello? I'm responsible for the money I earn. Save, give, and invest. Oh, and spend. Thank you, Bro Wyatt. I'm telling you, of every dollar you make, you ought to at least save a dime. Well, I can't get no help, huh? I am responsible for my finances. Hello? Yes, I am. Amen. You mean tell me you ain't got nothing in the savings? If it's just $10, at least that's a start. And they tell me money attracts money. You know that when you broke, you can't get nothing. Go to the bank and say, I want to get a loan for $10,000. What you reckon? I ain't got no job. You know that's a lost cause, don't you? I am responsible. If I get a credit card, they want you to be irresponsible. They want you to max that baby out at 14 to 18%. You know what that means? Every dollar you spend, before you even spend it, they got 14 cents of that dollar. Did you know that? What they leave you with? Y'all math way about 86 cents? You a math genius. I am responsible for my my finances. I am responsible for my personal development. Amen. If you're ever going to grow in grace, you got to be responsible. Go in the dressing room and be responsible. Grow in the grace and the not. Now, look, if you are serious about growing, how much time you spend with this? But desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. If you don't spend no time with this and all your time with General Hospital and scandal. Preach, Moss. What else they like, White? Who? Young and the Restless. Oh, she know. Look at that. Young and the Restless. Hello? And Tom Joyner. Hello? And American Idol. And The Voice. Preach, Moss. How you gonna ever grow? I am responsible for my family. Yes, I am. Whether I succeed or fail, I'm responsible. Yes, I am. And sometimes you have to face the fact when you fail. You got to face the music. Learn from it. The Bible says if a man doesn't provide for his own family, he is worse than an infidel. I'm responsible for my family. Amen. Providing for them, protecting them. I'm responsible. That word empowers you, doesn't it? Let me give you a couple more and I'll be finished. I am responsible for my own salvation. Ain't nobody going to save your soul but you. Brother Wyatt will help. Brother Rutledge will help. I'll help. But in the end, the Bible said, work out your own salvation. Does that denote responsibility? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Peter says in Acts 2:40, save yourself. See, that's the dressing room. Go into God's dressing room and put on personal responsibility. And your life gets better right then. Here's the last one. Well, I like this one. I am responsible for my future. That's heavy, isn't it? Let me prove it. Do you know the best way to predict the future? Create it. Create your own future. How do you do that? You do that by making good, solid choices. Because what? You reap what you sow. I can determine to a great degree how my future is going to be. I can create my own future. I'm responsible. Isn't that a big word? Isn't that a big word? I can't hear y'all. Let me ask again. Is that a big word? Is that a powerful word? Isn't it the struggle of parents to teach their kids to be responsible? And sometimes we don't step in every time something go wrong. You got to sometimes allow them to try to figure out things for themselves. Is that right? Amen. But that is a huge word. And even God said the church can't go on without responsible folk. Bush Hill wouldn't exist if you didn't have responsible people. Faithful folks who make it their business to support the cause and to be here on Sunday, there wouldn't be a church if we didn't have responsible folks. And I'm glad that my Savior is responsible. Or when he came down through 42 generations, he was taking on responsibility. Is that all right? When he walked up and down the dusty hills of Palestine, he was taking on responsibility. When he opened the eyes of the blind and made crippled legs walk and twisted limbs straighten at his touch, he was taking on responsibility. When he took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes and fed a multitude, he was taking on responsibility. When he went from judgment hall to judgment hall and they beat his back till they looked like 2 white caps in a sea of blood, he was taking on responsibility. When he went up that hill called Calvary and he fell beneath that weight, he was taking on responsibility. Or when they hung him high and they stretched him wide, he was taking on responsibility. Is that all right? When he died for your sins and my sin, he was taking on responsibility. Is that all right? And that's why I'd rather have Jesus. Is that all right? It's all right to win Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes, but I'd rather have Jesus. Is that all right? It's all right to be in the 100 most influential people in America, but I'd rather have Jesus. Is that all right? It's all right to be in Who's Who, but I'd rather have Jesus. Is that all right? Because men strive for the wealth of this wide, wicked world. They seek after honor and fame. But I still would rather have Jesus. Is that all right? Because Jesus said, I want you to go into the dressing room, Sam White. And I got a nice suit I want you to put on. Is that all right? Jackie, I want you to go in the dressing room. I got a nice dress I want you to put on. Is that all right? And when you put it on, you're going to look so good. Is that all right? When you put on the fruits of the Spirit, I'm going to put on love and joy and peace and long suffering. Is that all right? And gentleness and goodness and meekness and temperance. And against such, there is no law. Is that all right? And once I put on the fruits of the Spirit, Brother Ben, I'm going to put on the Christian grace. Is that all right? And to your faith, virtue. To your virtue, knowledge. To your knowledge, temperance. Is that all right? To temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Is that all right? And if these things be in you and abound, oh, you're going to look so good. Is that all right? Oh, I got myself a brand new attitude. Is that all right? Oh, I got myself a new walk and I got myself a new talk. Is that all right? Because I done put on. I'm in the dressing room. Haven't you said, be patient with me? God ain't through with me yet. And sometimes you had to go back into the dressing room. Is that all right? But when you go in there, make sure you got your size. Hello? And make sure you got your color. Is that all right? And you'll be so glad that you did. That's the message. Would you stand on your feet, please? That's the message this morning. The dressing room. Some things I got to take off. And I want to urge you this morning, if you are irresponsible, take that off. Take it off and put on responsibility. Amen? And it's amazing. You know, it's amazing when people see you responsible and trying to be, they'll help you. I didn't get much on that. Let me say it again. When people see you are responsible and trying to be, they'll help you. But if they see you shucking and jiving, but why say they'll leave you alone? That's exactly what I was going to say. Huh? Is that right? And so I'm saying God has a dressing room, a place where you go, and I'm glad about it. where I can take certain things off and I can put certain things on. Amen. Well, Brother Moss, how do I do it? Well, if you're not a child of God, you do it by hearing the gospel, how the Lord died for you and he was buried, he rose again the third day. That makes you a child of God if you believe that. Repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be immersed in water for the remission of your sin. And you put on Christ. And at the dressing room, you put him on in baptism. And if you're a child of God and you strayed away and you had on the garments of righteousness and holiness, and you went back and put on those stinking garments of sin. The stinking garments of sin got vomit on them. Yes, they do. The stinking garments of sin got urine on them. Hello? The hog washed in the... And some of everything in that mud. I can't even tell you how filthy that mud is. And the Bible said if you go back to that, do you know you like the dog that... Did I tell y'all about that black dog? You said y'all got to eat. Claudia, did I tell you about that black dog? Yeah. Claudia said she don't want to hear that. All right, I'll talk about it later. Amen. But that black dog made an impression on me. Praise God. I still remember it, Cookie. He made an impression on me. But if you go back, you had on the garments of righteousness. And you took that off and put on the stinking garments of sin. Go back to the dressing room. Amen. Take a shower. Take a shower first now. Amen. And put on the garments. Even the prodigal son went to the dressing room. What did his daddy tell him? Get a robe. Wrap it around his shoulders. Put a ring on his face. Put some jewelry on his neck. Put that boy in the dressing room. He was dead, Brother Wynn, but now he's alive. I want him in the dressing room. And look at my son now. He once was dead, but he's alive. Ain't God good? Ain't God good? Isn't he awesome? Next Sunday, church, if the Lord blessed me to see it, I'm going to preach the classroom. You don't want to miss that. Don't you shoot hooky. You come here to classroom on next Sunday. Are you here today? You're a child of God and you straight away. You can make it right by repenting, confessing, and praying. And the Lord will receive you back into his fold. Ain't that good news? That's wonderful news. Amen. Oh Lord, I come to receive, to receive. Patiently waiting for the harvest. I got the Hebrews, the counterfeit, and it's mine. Oh, mine. Oh, yeah. Oh Lord, I come to receive my blessing. Patiently waiting for the harvest. I got the Hebrews, the counterfeit. And it's mine, oh mine, oh yeah.